Good morning. My name is Murali Basham. I'm a partner with the law firm of Basham Spiro, and I'm here with Amy Coates, who's a senior counsel with our firm.
Good morning, everybody.
And we handle corporate and family immigration law in all 50 states and around the world. And Amy and I are here today to discuss the road to citizenship.
Today we're going to go through just the basics of citizenship, really, what the benefits are, the requirements for most folks, the English and civics test, that we get a lot of questions on that, and also just general application, interview, and oath procedures. The basic requirements for citizenship, first you have to be 18 years old to file your application. Most people have to have had permanent resident status for 5 years before they file. In a lot of cases, you can actually file 3 months before your five-year anniversary as a green card holder, but you just have to be careful about that. U.S. citizens, they're in a different situation. Spouses of U.S. citizens, I'm sorry. As long as you have been married to a U.S. citizen, had your green card for 3 years, you've been married to someone who's been a U.S. citizen for 3 years, then you only have to wait 3 years to apply for your U.S. citizenship.
We get this question sometimes, Amy. A person wants to apply for citizenship. They were married to a U.S. citizen for maybe a year and a half or 2 years during that time, and they ask whether they can file after 3 years.
So what you're asking is, at the time of their three-year anniversary, they're already separated.
Correct, yeah.
No, you have to be living with your U.S. citizen spouse and sharing a life together to be able to file. Otherwise, you have to wait for 5 years to file.
So when you say at least 18 years old to file, what happens if, you know, I'm 25 and I've got a young child?
There is something called the Child Citizenship Act, and basically it says that if when a person gets their citizenship, any children that they have who are under the age of 18, who already have green cards and who are reside with them and they have custody of those children automatically become U.S. citizens. And at that point, the way to get evidence of their citizenship that they acquired automatically is to file for a U.S. passport. Oh, and by the way, members of the U.S. Armed Forces, they don't have to wait as long either. But usually at the base where the service man or woman is stationed, they have a designated point of contact who's responsible for filing those citizenship applications for service members. So usually I don't see those cases here at the office because those are handled by someone on base. Okay, residency requirements. Now this can trick people up. One of the first requirements is you have to be residing within the state or the U.S. CIS district for 3 months.
Before you can file the case, right?
Right. So like if you move across the country from California to North Carolina, you need to be living in North Carolina for 3 months before you file. So sometimes people aren't aware of this requirement. They file on their own. For example, I'm handling a case right now where a gentleman did this. He just didn't know. So, I mean, he wasted all that money.
Now, what happens, you know, how does someone prove that? What do they have to present to the USCIS officer?
Well, I mean, it's not so much, it's going to be right there on your application because you have to list your last 5 years of residency. So they're going to see it right there. Now, if you're like right on the line, then they may ask to see your driver's license. They may ask to see your lease, you know, something like that. But I think you have to be really, really close to the 3 months as shown on your citizenship application for them to even question it. As far as physical presence goes, half of that either 5 or 3 year period has to be in the United States. Your feet physically have to be on U.S. soil for half of that time. And then the other residency requirement is your absences. I mean, if all of your absences are less than 6 months, each trip is less than 6 months, you're not going to have any trouble. Now, this is in the 3 or 5 year period.
And you're talking about the continuous presence or residence requirement.
Right, that's right. Mm-hmm. But if you have any trips that are between 6 months and 1 year that fall within that 5 or 3 year period, then the government is going to make a presumption that you've broken this requirement. You can overcome it, but it's tough, so I really prefer not to file cases in this situation. Now, if you have an absence of more than 1 year, that automatically breaks it, and there's really no way at that point to fix it. Now, there is an application that you can file before you leave for your trip to try to preserve your residency, but most people don't think about that ahead of time. they only think about that after they're ready to file for citizenship, and by that time, it's sort of too late.
And, you know, these are two different topics. One is preserving your residency, and the other is filing for citizenship. And some people think by filing for the reentry permit, if you go, even though that allows you to go for over a year, that does not make it okay when you file for U.S. citizenship.
Right, exactly. No, that's a common issue that comes up in these cases. The other major requirement that you have to meet is good moral character. And now, the Immigration Service is not prohibited from looking at your moral character over your entire lifetime. They can do that. And if you've got something that's very bad, that's outside of the 5 or 3 year period, then they're going to look at that. And if you can't show that you've been rehabilitated, then that could affect your citizenship case. The other thing is if you've got something that's really serious, that's outside this time period, something that could get you deported, not only will they deny your case, but they'll put you in deportation proceedings.
So the point is, if you've got anything in your background, you definitely should speak with a qualified immigration attorney first.
Yes, I mean, don't underestimate it. I mean, I saw someone who filed their application on their own who had 4 bounce check charges, and they didn't think that was a big deal because in the real world, it's not a good thing to do, but it's not anything that's going to get you locked up for years and years. But this was a huge problem for a citizenship case, and he was able to overcome it, you know, once he hired an immigration attorney, but still, that just shows you right there.
I mean, good moral character, isn't that pretty subjective?
Well, it sort of is. I mean, if you have committed one crime of what they call moral turpitude in that 3 or 5 year period, then that will pretty much prohibit you from establishing good moral character. But there are some things that the courts have not ruled those to be crimes of moral turpitude, but the government could still have an issue with it. For example, a DWI. That's not technically a crime of moral turpitude, but that could be something that would stop you from getting your citizenship, and that is really at the discretion of the officer. I've seen people with one DWI within the 3 or 5 year period get their citizenship, but once you've got 2 or more in that period, that's problematic. The other thing that can come up from time to time is if the service finds a problem with the applicant's old green card case. So there's two things that come up routinely here. The one thing that I see from time to time is when someone got their green card through their employer. But when you look at their employment history on their naturalization application, they actually never worked for that employer after they got their green card. This is a problem. The other thing that I see come up is when the applicant got their green card, they're married to a U.S. citizen. And they have to show their, and let's say this person has gotten divorced at this time, and you look at the divorce judgment, and the divorce judgment shows a separation date when they had previously put out to the Immigration Service that they were still together. So that can happen too. Like in North Carolina on a divorce judgment, it shows the date you were separated or that you were separated for at least 1 year before the divorce was filed. And so previously you had represented to the government that you were still living with your spouse during that time. That could be a problem.
So the point being, if you get your green card approved, when you file for naturalization, it doesn't mean you're automatically clear with regard to your permanent resident status, if you have issues in the past.
They can still go back and look at that. Selective service is an issue, too. I mean, generally, if you didn't have a green card, if you're a man and you did not have a green card between the age of 18 and 26, even if you were in the United States, that's not going to be a problem. But if you did get your green card during that period and you haven't registered. Unless it's too late. And then if it's too late to register, you've got some explaining to do. There's some things you need to do there, and you should get advice from an attorney. The other thing is failure to pay child support or to pay your taxes. I won't file a client's case if they owe it, if they are not on a payment plan with the government, they owe taxes.
If we did not answer any of your questions, please do feel free to contact either me or Amy. Our email addresses and telephone number is on your screen right now. I do encourage you to visit our media library and do connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. We will have a webinar coming up next month on what to do about changing jobs during a permanent residency process and how that impacts the process. Thanks, everyone, for joining in today. We hope you have a great day.
Thank you.